Yeah, so Psalm 85 this morning. That's most of the way through Psalms, or about a little over halfway through the Psalms, I should say. I'll give you guys plenty of time to get there. But last week we were talking about how we're encouraged to stir one another up. And God's been doing exactly that this last week for me. He's been stirring something inside of me, knowing that there is something about this time that we're in. And he's laid this scripture on me multiple times here in the last 6 months, probably. And at first I thought it was just a scripture for myself, something to pray into, something to speak over us in this time. But here I've been hearing that it's time to lean into it as a church here this morning. See, there's a need for us to stoke that fire that we talked about last week, to fan that flame, to stir up those coals. You know, last week, follow up to how I was talking about lighting my burn pile and how that fire lasts for a while. Apparently, it wasn't out when we were given that message last week. I thought it had died out on Thursday. But we got a little bit of rain, a little bit of wind. And I went out to do chores Sunday night, and I saw smoke coming from that fire again. So, don't underestimate the ability and the possibility of getting that flame stirred up again. That fire's still going strong. Last week, a good portion of the scriptures we looked at were actually out of the New Testament. So this week, I'm flipping it a little bit. We're going to look at the Old Testament quite a bit. You guys know the New Testament didn't make the Old Testament useless when it was written. There's a lot of good stuff in the Old Testament. There's a lot of good meat there, stuff that you can just sink your teeth into and chew on for a bit, something you can feast on. You guys have probably heard it before that the New Testament is the Old Testament concealed. No, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. So you'll see exactly that come to life this morning, I think. So we're actually going to read this entire psalm. It's only 13 verses. But this whole psalm, it's important for us to realize when it was written and what they were going through at the time. This was right after the Israelites that came back from the captivity of Babylon. They no longer were away in a foreign land. God had already restored them back to the land where they were living before. So even though they were physically where they thought they should be, they knew they should be, they recognized there was still something missing. There's still something more that was needed. That it just wasn't the same as they pictured it. Something was off. So we start here in verse 1. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. Selah. Just sit there and pause on that for a second. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God, of our salvation, and cause your anger towards us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring forth out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Now we're going to focus on verse 6 here, but it's good to recognize throughout the whole psalm what they were going through, what their thought was, what they were having conversations with God about, what they were praying about through this all. Verse 6 there is, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" We pray for revival so often. God, send revival. Let your revival fire fall. Bring revival on this nation. Fill your churches with revival. There are some churches out there that use the term revival simply as an event that they have. They call some meetings where they want to get together, where they have some guest speaker come in, and they call that revival. But that's not revival as far as what God was wanting to call revival. So often when we're praying for revival, sometimes what we're really asking for is God's outpouring on the unbelievers, for harvest to come to bring souls into the kingdom, for a spirit to be ministering and drawing people into the kingdom, for souls to be saved from eternal separation from God, for lives to be changed. And God does want lives to be changed. But here's a newsflash. Spoiler alert. That life that he wants changed is yours. It's mine. See, revival isn't meant to fall on those who aren't already proclaiming Jesus as King. Revival is meant to fall on us. Revival is meant to bring new life to us. Revival's in our very name here. It's new life. There's new life at New Life. Am I talking to the right people this morning? There's new life within us. Let's look at that verse again. "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" Notice that the psalmist here says, "Revive us." It's meant for us. The prayer is for God to revive us. The question is, will God revive us? The desire is for God to revive us. Let's remind ourselves what that word revive even means. It's to bring back to life. What was dead is now alive. How many times have we seen God revive something before? Something that we said there's no way for that to happen anymore. And he brought life out of a seemingly impossible situation. The Israelites, as the psalmist was writing this psalm, they were in a seemingly impossible situation, being taken off into captivity, but being allowed to go back to the promised land, the homeland from where Nebuchadnezzar had taken them out of. The whole nature of the gospel is revived to new life. The whole nature of the gospel is that Jesus died for us. That he died so that our old selves could be buried with him. And that our new selves, our new man, could be risen to life again with him. Revival in us embraces that whole new creation mentality that goes along with the gospel. Telling us that we are full of life. Reminding us of what God is currently doing and what he's going to do still. The stuff that we left for dead with our old selves, that stuff really is dead. But our spirit man was revived back to life. I'm going to read Psalm 85:6 out of the Message Bible. You aren't going to keep this up, are you? Scowling and angry year after year. Why not help us make a fresh start, a resurrection life? Then your people will laugh and sing. Show us how much you love us, God. Give us the salvation we need. That resurrection life, that fresh start, that is what revival is. When we say revive us, give us that fresh start, that resurrection life. So I looked in the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary. And what I love about that dictionary is he uses scripture as the how to use this word in a sentence. And so I figured he probably used this verse in the word revive definition. So here's the definition that he uses this verse as an example for. That definition that he uses there is to recomfort, to quicken, to refresh with joy or hope. So often when we think revival, and we think of some of the revivals in the past, you think of all the joy and the hope that everybody had in Jesus. That's exactly part of what revival is. Part of what being revived is. You have that outpouring of joy and hope that we've heard about in the past seasons when revival fell on the believers in that area. When it fell on God's church, on his ecclesia. See, when we are revived, we can't help but overflow with hope and joy, with peace, with love. It's all going to flow out of us. It's all going to be just a part of who we are because we're letting Jesus and Holy Spirit run through us, that we're letting him be the one who's proclaiming goodness in that time. It won't be where people think you're baptized in pickle juice. People will see that we have joy. They'll see that we're not just cranky people because we're trying to follow a bunch of laws. They're going to see what hope and joy we have, and that's the beauty of the gospel. They can see it in us. See, as a church for so long, we've been focused on the gospel as an escape plan, as a retirement plan, the Monopoly, the get-out-of-jail-free card. And religion has made that focus on how to get to heaven, how to get to the afterlife. But you completely miss out on the whole fullness of the gospel when you look at it with just that aspect. It misses out on the fact that God put us here for a reason. It's not to populate to heaven. Don't get me wrong. People on their deathbed, they can know there's a way for them to still be reconciled back to God. The thieves on the cross, they were in heaven at the end of that day. It wasn't too late for them. But that's not the point of the gospel. We're meant to be here for a time and a purpose. Heaven's a given for us, but there's work to be done here on the earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're meant to establish and proclaim the kingdom of God here on earth. We're being revived for the kingdom, not for ourselves. Revival is us being awakened, embracing that the gospel is life-giving for today. Welcome it. Don't try to fight that. Welcome the fullness that God is equipping us for this time and this purpose and this place. God is up to something. Things are getting worse in the world. And that's one of the key characteristics that God is getting ready to revive his people, getting ready to draw them back to him. There's been one verse that's been speaking to me and my spirit man for a couple of years now, I think. And that is, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Out of Esther. Of all the times that God could have placed us, he placed us right here in 2021. Man, there would have been some awesome things to see in other times, but God's placed us here because he knows that we have a calling for this time. We have something that people are going to hear from us in this time. He's up to something. He's positioned us here for a reason. We were made on purpose for a purpose. For now. The world, there's no doubt that it's getting shaken right now. Things that people thought they could trust are falling apart. For years, people trusted in this government. Now more than ever, people are losing their trust in this government. There's only one place they can turn then, and that's to Jesus. You know, this next weekend, we're coming up on 20 years since the attacks on the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and the other plane that was headed towards Camp David. And it doesn't seem like it's that long ago, but it was quite a while ago. I know many of you probably have things where you think of where you were. I remember exactly what class I was in college even, and the professor getting a knock on the door, and you could just tell something was up. Unprecedented time. God was shaking the country then. Things are going to get shaken again as well. Habakkuk 3:2 says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. There's so much shaking in the world right now. It's causing Christians to be shaken awake left and right. I think just about everybody here, at one point or another lately, there's been something that's been going on that's just breaking your heart. Something that you see going on that you know that's not of the kingdom of God. That it's stirring you up. It's stirring you up to more prayer, to more of a relationship with God. Pushing you to him even more because you know that's where your hope and your trust is. Isn't having that relationship with the living God. Causing us to wake up and realize that we have authority over whatever's going on. That we press into using that authority. God's reviving us to use that more and more. See, revival is needed in our hearts first and foremost. Because until we get our hearts where they need to be, God's not going to pour out his outpouring on others. He cares about the condition of our hearts. He wants us to pursue what's on his heart. You know, he's rebuilding the tabernacle of David, as it says, I think it's in Amos. And he wants us to recognize that he cares about our heart. David was a man after God's own heart. His praise was praising him with his own heart. Or something about the condition of our heart that God just speaks into this time. What's important to us is starting to be shown. It's stirring us in our hearts right now. It's burning new life back to what may have started to get cold. It's stirring us up. The governments of the nations are meant to fall apart. Only the government of God is meant to last forever. He's got a government that, he's got a kingdom that cannot be shaken. See, our foundation is indeed Jesus Christ. He's the rock that won't move. He's the foundation that won't wash away, that won't crumble. He's our solid ground. When we stand on him, it doesn't matter what comes our way in the storm, what problems get in our path. When we learn to lean on him, we are established. Revival is not a destination for us to enjoy. It's a state of constant refreshing and recharging to go back out of that point. We need to look at the purpose of revival. It's not so that we can go down in the water and play. It's for us to go down in the water, get recharged, and to go back out. It's not for us to see gold flakes in the air when his glory falls. Yes, God wants to show us his glory, but that's not the purpose of it. It's not to feel good about Holy Spirit moving. It's to stir us up. It's to bring life back to what we're doing. To return to the love of the Father. To bring us back to that place of desire. It's being revived back to life to take Jesus to those around us. We've seen it as an end goal, but the true joy, the true wonder is in the process. See, when we sit back and enjoy it, it becomes the destination. But when we let it be a part of the process, we truly enjoy it because then we're taking it back out as Holy Spirit stirs up that fire even more. You come back, you get recharged, you go out. You come back, you get recharged, you go out. There's so much out there. There are people all around us. There can be revival. We can be revived back to life right in the middle of anything that we're doing at that time. I'm not going to read the story, but you think of Peter and John in the book of Acts. And you guys probably know the line I'm thinking of. You know, they're walking by the guy that was lame, and he's begging. And there were plenty of other people that they passed by, but this guy was begging. And he saw him, and he looks at him, and he's like, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." See, they joined with other believers, and then they went out. But they listened to Holy Spirit as they passed by this guy. And Holy Spirit said, "Hey, stop. I know you've passed by this guy plenty of times, but this time, stop." And they were obedient. And God showed them himself. The guy was paralyzed for 40 years. But he leapt to his feet, proclaimed the name of Jesus all the more. Revival brings with it an expectation. It releases our faith. It doesn't limit us to, God, I hope. Well, God, if this is your will, no. With revival comes hope, comes faith. Gives us a confidence, a boldness. It transforms us. You know, God's into the transformation business, but it continues to transform us the way that only God can. It gives us a boldness and a courage that we've never had before. You know, signs and wonders and miracles are something that we believe a lot in here. If God's showing someone to you, revealing that what might be going on in their body, step out in faith. He's revealing it to you. There's an old saying, what God reveals, that he will heal. You might be operating in a word of knowledge at the time, of knowing what it is that's going on. And then that opens the door to them receiving a healing. You guys have heard it before here. Healings are the dinner bell for the lost. People are hungry. When people are hungry, they desire it. There's something about a healing that they just cannot deny. I remember the lady whose daughter we prayed for her hearing and her being deaf and mute. And I remember we prayed for the daughter, and she received the healing. And the mom just couldn't believe it. The mom just couldn't believe it. She didn't accept Christ right away, even though she just saw her daughter healed. But you could just see Holy Spirit working on her. You could just see Holy Spirit ministering to her. And you just watched it in her eyes, watched it in her face. And she recognized the need for Jesus. She wasn't the one who received the healing, but she couldn't deny the power of Jesus. She couldn't deny what God was trying to do in that moment. Lives changed. You know, that's something else about James and John. Or not James and John, Peter and John in Acts there. You know, one of the things that happened with that whole healing, only one man was healed. But you know what the scripture says as far as how many came to the Lord because of that? 5,000 men. People are hungry. Don't underestimate what God wants to do. Because he'll do it. But because they were stirred up in their spirit, because they recognized there was something going on beyond what they were expecting, they stopped and listened to him that day and acted on it. Listen and hear what God is saying and then stand on it. Our God is an abundant God. He's not a barely getting by God. He's not the God of the miraculous, or he's the God of the miraculous and the supernatural. The doing it abundantly, exceedingly, more than you can ever ask for. He's that God. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Here's the good part of it. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came and gave his life for us to have life in abundance. He's not stingy. He's not eventually I'll get around to answering your prayers. No, he's faithful to answer our prayers. His desire is for us to live in an abundant and a full life here on this planet. Something that he's promised us. So stand on that promise when the enemy tries to tell you otherwise. I'm going to read Psalm 85:6 again out of the Passion Translation this time. Revive us again, O God. I know you will give us a fresh start. Then all your people will taste your joy and gladness. Pour out even more of your love on us. Reveal more of your kindness and restore us back to you. That's our cry this morning for God to revive us again, to bring us back to life, to give us that fresh start. He's faithful to do exactly that. You know how I told you the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed? Well, those prayers are exactly what Jesus came to do. He gives us a new start every day. He gives us a new start every moment of the day. Don't let the past condemn you. Don't let your past try to discourage you from what God's wanting to do now. Don't let times that you've heard Holy Spirit and you didn't do what He was prompting you to do get you down. God makes all things new. He wants you to know that you are loved and you are still important in the kingdom. He's not just a God of second chances. He's a God of the second, third, fourth, seventh, eighth, infinitieth, if it's a word, chance. God doesn't give up on us. There's a newness in Him all the time. He does big things out of little people. He does big things out of people who were a mess when they first came to Christ. He does big things out of people who were a mess while God was still dealing with them even. Embrace somebody's transformation as God's taken them through it. We were all there once. It may feel like we're an outcast at times when we start taking a stand for the kingdom. Like it don't feel like we belong. And that's true. Because we don't belong in the cares of the world. But we're meant to be an effective presence for the kingdom where we're at, wherever we go. There's one last thought that I want to share with you guys. And this could be a whole sermon of itself. But I'm just going to touch on it and let you do your own word study. There's a lot in the Old Testament about the remnant. We are the remnant. God hides away faithful people that He calls and activates when He sees fit. You remember the fire that we talked about last week? It was over a week, and that fire was still going. Still going quite a bit. There's no doubt that that fire was going at that point. One little coal could have restarted a whole another fire. Because I kept throwing more on there, thinking it was out. But God kept it going. As long as there's a remnant, that fire can still be going. Don't count it out. Don't give up. Persevere. Eventually, over time, God grows that remnant out of being a remnant and being a part of the large part of what He's planning on doing. He blesses that remnant. He's faithful to that remnant. He stirs us up, has that remnant glow bright once again. We're at the edge of something big that God has planned. But it's going to require obedience out of us to follow through on what he's reviving us to do. He's up to something. He's stirring us up still. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we do pray that you revive us again, O God. Lord, have your way in us. Lord, we submit to you. Holy Spirit, we yield to your leading, God. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we pray that we be awakened to what you're wanting to do in this time. Lord, help us see what you are doing in the kingdom. Help us hear what you are doing in the kingdom, Lord. Lord, strengthen us as we make decisions as well. Strengthen us as we carry out what you are calling us to do, Lord. Father, we know that you are faithful to do it. Lord, we do pray that you revive us once again. That you return us to that desire that we had for you at one point, God. Lord, we're sorry for what we've allowed to creep into this country, Lord. Lord, we're sorry for where we've fallen asleep and not done what you wanted us to do, God. Lord, we pray for mercy on this nation, God. We pray that you restore your glory in this time. Lord, we thank you that you are that solid rock that we're able to run to, that solid foundation that we're able to stand on, God. Lord, we thank you that you help us weather the storm, that you give us that refuge, you give us that strength, Lord, in the time of need. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this time. Lord, we embrace what you are doing, God. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We love you, God. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.